Let's open the Bible, okay? I'm a little nervous, all right? And from North Carolina, anybody from the South? Look at that, a lot of folks, good. So that's the saved crowd right there, amen? And the rest of you will try to disciple you this hour. And there may be some words I say that you think, what was that? Just, it's a Greek word or Hebrew word like y'all and fixin' to and you-ins and amen, but anyway. But we'll try to stay right in the Word of God. It is a joy and an honor to be here, and I do not take it lightly. I really don't. And I was shocked when Pastor called. I thought maybe he got the wrong number. And, you know, my brother's a great preacher. My dad's a preacher. My mama's not bad. And she writes all the messages for us anyway. Amen. But I said, are you sure? He said, yep. Okay. Remember, you asked. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you are a guest here today, please come back. Do not judge this church by what's happening in the next few moments, okay? Come back and visit. And I'll tell you what, I like those jelly bellies, so I'm gonna go get me a couple cards. I doubt any visitors are gonna get the jelly bellies, but you can tell that, yeah, everybody's gonna rip them off. Praise the Lord, amen. Get your own, work out your own salvation, praise God. Psalm 23, if you have your Bible, Psalms 23. With time change, I was watching our, we have a same schedule. Y'all have 8:30, 10:30, and 5. And so I was watching our services as they were getting started. And I never understood the other side of pastoring, but your heart, you're nervous for your people. And you love them. And I love our people so much. And God has been so kind to us. And who would have thought we'd been dealing with what we've dealt with this last year around the world? But aren't you glad we have a God who's alive and well? Our Savior saves today just like He did before COVID. And God is just good. That's all there is to it. This psalm we're going to look at today, Psalm 23, we're going to look at the last two verses in this psalm. We walked through this chapter at our church and took quite a few weeks to do so, and it was a great read. And however, this is a psalm that even a brand new believer or someone that may not even know church around the world, this is one that would be quoted. This is one that Hollywood would even use at a time of grieving. You'll hear Amazing Grace. There's certain songs you'll even hear all around our world. You'll hear that tune, and I know that tune. And this is a psalm that many times, unfortunately, we only go to whenever it is saying goodbye to a loved one. Although I'm glad it's there. I'm glad God gives us this word so it can comfort us. But I want to say this, there's so much in this that I hope will help us today. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you to help us this morning. And God, I pray that you'll meet with us. You've already begun to meet with us, and I thank you for that. Thank you for the choir. We heard those wonderful songs. Thank you for the congregational singing. Lord, I do not know how this world makes it. God, I thank you for the church. What a great idea to start a church. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us the people of God. And Lord, I do not want to just spend time here in these next few moments. God, we want you to meet with us. Spirit of God, we want you to fill us. And I pray if there's anyone here today that's not saved, may they trust you. If there's anyone here today that's saved, but they're struggling with some things, I pray they'll just turn it over to you. And God, I pray that you'll help us, Holy Ghost of God, help us to see your mighty hand work in a big way. I love you. Bless Jenny and the family back at the house. In your precious name I pray. Amen. God's prepared table. You know, it's a great thing whenever you go eat. I like to eat. Raised in church, man. When you meet, you eat. And I just come out here to steal ideas. Like, I'm so glad you're doing that 10-week series. If you don't follow our YouTube, because it might be 2 weeks behind, but we're going to start a 10-week series on prophecy. And it's a good series. I can't wait to preach it. But there's something about being prepared. Can you imagine? And I've gone places with my family. We've gone on vacation. For instance, it's spring break this next week with our family. So when I leave here, I'm not flying home. I'm meeting them at Myrtle Beach. And we don't go to the beach. We're fundamentalists. We go to the coast. And so, but anyway, so I'm going to meet them out there at the beach. And we're going to, but we'll go to services many times on vacation. And we've walked in and not even knowing the people. And a man say, "Hey, you're a preacher. Why? You're preaching." It's like, oh boy. Okay. There's got to be something in here. It's one thing to be prepared. It's another thing when you're not prepared. God has prepared a table. And look what he said, in the presence of mine enemies. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to call someone to go out to eat, there are some people I don't call. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to be a better Christian. I know you call anybody and everybody, but there are some people that are not on my speed dial. I don't know who you eat with, but I doubt you're going to find that person that said that about you that was not right, that was not true, and that was just wrong, and they did this. Hey, would you like to go get a bite to eat? Boy, that's probably not what I'd do. You know, God says, I'm preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Now, in order to enjoy this psalm very quickly, I want to say, unless we get the first two words of this psalm, unless we understand it correctly, we're going to miss the other 116 words, because it is all about the Lord. In verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And unless we realize it is about the Lord, we're going to miss the other 116 words, because man can only help me so much, and man can only lead me through a dark valley so far, and man can only guide me and protect and provide. But when the Lord says, "I'm going to be your shepherd," and when the Lord says, "I'm going to take care of those, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." All of us want things. Am I right? I like my truck. And one of the teenagers jumped in the other day, and a couple guys jumped in. We're going to go out, soul winning, and they all jumped in the truck. And they said, "Pastor, how come your truck is always so clean?" I said, "Because I don't let people get in it. My kids are grown. They're gone. You got your own car. You drop French fries in that car. Don't drop French fries in this truck. Amen. I got an F-150 Harley Davidson edition. It gets a bath twice a week, whether it likes it or not. You got to armor all them tires. Man, I want to adorn the gospel. Amen. But I'll still pull up to a light because I'm human, and I'll look over and see another one like, wow, that could be the Lord's will. God, I name it and claim it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me that right. You know, there's always that time in our human part where we're going to want some things. But when we understand the Lord is my shepherd, so whenever those desires start building up, I need to leave the wanters and go to the havers. I'm from North Carolina. And we're going to leave that crowd that's always wanting and realize, you're my shepherd. Shall not want. And when I realize it is the Lord that will lead me, it's the Lord that will make me. There's sometimes he's going to make you lie down. There's many times he'll restore you. There's times he's going to remind us that I've got you while you're going through this shadow of death. Can we go through this introduction quickly, because I want to segue into the body of the message, but notice the person, the person. He said in verse number 5, thou. You know, there's certain things, if you're going to eat at the Gray House and you know that I'm doing the cooking, you might want to pick another day. I can cook a meatball of Lucky Charms, but that's about it. I don't cook, I order. Amen. But if Jenny's cooking, you better stop on by. We had a meal last night, and I loved so much going to the Williams' house, and they made me cook, but other than that, it was okay. But we went by their house. Oh, my soul. They had, I mean, just detailed. Somebody prepared. There were even name tags at the chair. That's chairs for me. If somebody would have sat there, I'd have given them a dirty look. You know, like you do when you come into church, somebody sitting in your seat. And you're like, excuse me, 6 feet. Amen. You're in my chair, bless God. But I mean, it was so prepared. They even had dessert cards. You filled out what you wanted for dessert. And I thought, I like this. I still got my card. I'm going to fill it out this evening. Amen. But I like this. And I even texted my wife, said, Jen, if you don't mind, when I get home, could you have a nameplate at my chair? And it didn't go well. But thou, God is the one that's going to prepare it. And then notice the preparation. Not only is the person, thank God it's God that's doing this, because as man, we would manipulate and we would mess up some things. But notice this, the preparation. Thou preparest a table. So this table, somebody's gone to some work and someone's taken some time and someone has prepared it. And when God prepares it, we're going to see in just a moment how he takes care of it. But notice the purpose. It's not just to eat. I like to eat, but many times in America, we eat just out of, because we're eating. Every time I go to a foreign field to preach, boy, God does something to my heart. Boy, I love going to mission works, and I love seeing what's going on all around this world. And it makes you come back and realize how spoiled we are. When God prepares this, he is doing it on purpose. And the purpose is found in verse number 5, before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, I don't know if that means they're going to be sitting at the table with me or if they're going to be viewing from afar, but I know it's going to be in their presence. Understanding that problems and blessings happen to everybody, saved and lost, no one's exempt. It rains on the just and on the unjust. There's times when rain is a blessing. You're trying to grow something, you want some rain. There's times when rain, I'd prefer it go away. We've had way too much. Boy, it's rained a lot in our part of the country, and it just won't stop. And it's like, man, we need to build a boat because it's coming down. And there's troubles that will come on all of us. But understand this, God is making a way to help you even through your difficult times, because when you're looking at a time in the life of the sheep, when things have not gone your way, when things have been done, you feel that you've been done wrong, aren't you glad you have a God that he's watching everything? He's keeping track of it all, and God takes very good records. When we remember who God is and when we remember who we are in Christ, hey church, that's how we can sit back, even in tough times, even in times when I disagree with that, I'm able to sit back and say, God, I just can't wait to see you work this out. I have so much faith in you that regardless, if I just don't agree with this right now. It was 5 weeks ago that Jenny and I were down in Florida doing a couples retreat, and we had just gotten off the plane, and I got my phone rang, and it was a lady from our church, and her husband had a horrible fall 12 feet from a ladder and on the job, and he was about 4 or 5 minutes unconscious, and it was just, it didn't look good. And so many fractures and the swellings and the bleeding of the brains and all four areas on the brain. And it was just, it was not good at all. And I remember talking with Laura, and I said, Laura, I'm telling you. And she said, nope. And I was so shocked at the spirit and the grace she had. She said, Pastor, God's got this. And I said, You ever supposed to stand tall, and in your heart you're thinking, you got this? And then I said, you know what, Laura, he sure does. And we're praying Terry back in this thing. We'll never forget, man, we prayed, and it was every day. And the doctor said, first of all, you just need to go ahead and call the family. And then it went from good report to good report. Long story short, he should have been in rehab for 6 months. Guess who walked in our auditorium last Wednesday night? Amen. Sitting in the balcony. You get a little happy. Sitting in the balcony 5 weeks later. That's God. God does that. And God said, I'm preparing, I'm working. And God's style of reparations is so cool, because he puts on a banquet. He said, I'm preparing a table before you. This isn't a drive-through meal. This isn't Chick-fil-A, although I love Chick-fil-A. Amen. Except they're closed on Sunday. Somebody got to talk to them about that. But I love good believers. And then we drive by. God bless y'all. Amen. But this isn't a drive-through blessing. God is taking time to prepare a table, which means you need to sit down. The preparation that goes into this and the work that goes into this. I remember we were here a couple years ago, and we went downtown L.A. into a really nice place to eat. And pastor said, hey, why don't y'all come with us? I don't care how old your children get. Did any parents have this conversation? Learn how to act like you got some sense. So we're fixing, I'll get in the car, and I'm looking at Philip, Stephen, Scotty, because they act just like their daddy. I can't even look at him in church. Like when I'm preaching, I know I say something wrong because I look over and the gray boys are just, they're dying laughing. I can't even look at them. I've had church discipline on them so many times, they keep coming back. So I'm like, look, guys, we're going to a real place to eat. I'm not paying for this. He is. So we're going to a real place. So let's act like we've been there before. We're not walking in McDonald's. We're not going to In-N-Out. I mean, we're walking to a place where people are sitting down. And then you go in and there's so many utensils. Well, what do I do with all these? I mean, I'll use a fork in each hand and there's an extra one in case you drop one of these. It's great. There is difference when God prepares something. When God lays it out, when God goes to work. And can I encourage you, learn how to stay at the table. Because when you're going through a difficult time, Joseph in the Old Testament, as you're thrown into the pit, as you're sold by your brothers, as you're sold again, as you're just, every time you start to get up, you're put back down. Guess what? Your table will be ready in about 30 years. And well, but give me about 20 more years. And all of a sudden, Joseph goes to his table in the presence of his enemies. How does a 16, 17-year-old slave boy become second in command? God does that. Hey, Daniel, while you're in the lion's den, God's preparing a table for you. You're going to be third in the nation. Hey, Job, while you're in a pile of ashes that I believe were the exact same ashes that he had sacrifices to pray for his children, and now his children are gone, he's lost everything, lost his health, and now he's sitting in that same pile of ashes, and the Bible says he's just worshiping God, and he's trying to get a hold of God. Hey, God's preparing your table. In church, I want to remind us today that we have a very good God, and it all goes back to the Lord, because it's not us, it's not any person, it's not a pastor, it's not a leader, but it's the Lord is the one who's preparing this for us. God prepares it. God presents it. And you just got to stay at the table quickly. Number one, jot this down. God gives provision in my opposition. God gives provision in my opposition. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. I love to, Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday. My family knows that. I don't have to buy a gift for anybody. Everybody okay? I'm thinking about becoming Jehovah's Witness during December and then change back. But well, I'm not pastoring. I shouldn't have said that. I don't know. Hey, I don't know what y'all think about Santa Claus, but I know he's real because I got to pay his credit card bill every year. Amen. And now I'm a grandparent. Imagine that. Hashtag Papa G right here, man. Amen. And I love it. I'm going to go broke this year. But God gives provision. There's that preparation that's there, the anticipation. And I love Thanksgiving because all we're going to do that day is eat and watch the Cowboys lose and cry and then eat. It's a great day. There's something about it when there's so much food on that table, I can't even sit at that table. I prepare a plate and I go sit somewhere else because there's just so much. Let me say, God gives provision in my opposition. First of all, he cleans it. Think about this table that's being prepared. Have you ever gone to eat somewhere and the table's not ready? If you ever go somewhere and they say, right this way, and they get there and the greeter's, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And you're looking at that table going, oh. If anything bad's going to happen to somebody's food, it happens to me. Without fail. If something bad's going to happen, it's going to get on my plate. It's like the devil knows he's here. Put that hair in that biscuit. Put that problem. I mean, it's going to happen. And let me say what God does. He cleans the table. There's people in here that your testimony is, Pastor, if you only knew who I was before I got saved. And can I tell you, God is the one that knows how to clean everything just right. There's some marks, though, that can't be wiped down with a cloth. Boy, in this day and age, everybody's cleaning everything. Like, you get on planes, I've been so sanitized, if you touch me, you'll get clean. I mean, I don't even have, you know, like, I mean, skin's rubbed off, man. I mean, we're everything just like y'all doing, and man, we're trying our best to do everything, but good night. But there's some things you can't wipe down. My pulpit at the church, I drew it on a napkin, and I sent it to a friend that is a great builder, and I said, hey, here's what I want, can you build this? He said, I can build that. I said, okay. So he started working on it, and man, it's exactly what I drew. It's exactly what I wanted, and he was able to do it. There's some marks, though, on the right side that remind me of this pulpit. I didn't have the pulpit long, and someone came to preach for me from Lancaster Baptist Church. And he was preaching away, and he gets a little excited, and he takes that hand straight down. Like straight down. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sure he thought I was getting full, and I said, oh, and I wasn't full, man. I was like, dear God, that's my new pulpit. I was over there, oh, sweet Moses. Oh, Lord. And after the service, I'm like. But those are the greatest indentions. That means there's preaching going on. But there's some things that you can't clean. So you know what God does? God takes a tablecloth called grace. And he can cover it. He'll clean it. Because unfortunately, while we're still here on this side of heaven, we're going to have some memories. But God can cover it. Because there's some cuts that are deep. There's some issues that were not good. But were it not for grace, and then I want to say he'll cater it. Oh, my soul, out comes the meal. Oh, when God cleans it and God covers it, he'll be the one that'll cater the meal. And you don't have to worry about it. Don't try to force anything. Don't try to make it happen. Just let God cater it. God's going to bring it out. Have you ever had order envy? That's me. If we go out to eat, I'll order something, then everybody else's plate's like, oh, I should have had that. Oh, that looks good. Now, I don't eat after people. I don't even have to eat after my wife. I don't eat after people. But, that looks good. I should have had that. Can I tell you, church, just let God bring you what he knows that you need. Number two, God gives power through the oil. He gives power through the oil. Look at verse number 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. God will anoint your head, specifically your head, which tells me, first of all, that it's personal. He said, my head, my head. It's very soothing because sheep are not the brightest animals, and sheep will wander and they'll just follow. And many times they would get scratched up and get cuts, and that shepherd would take oil and he would apply it to their head. And to have someone so close. And isn't that what our shepherd does? When we go through trials and when we go through difficulties, our shepherd is the one that brings us in, and he anoints our head with oil, and it's so soothing. But not only is it personal, but it's powerful. It's powerful. Where's the greatest battle that goes on in your spiritual life? In the mind. If you want to know how difficult it is to serve God, just start praying. We've been having these sweet hour of prayers at the church, and we just come together for an hour, simply an hour. And if some people stay longer, that's fine, but we just come for an hour. And we do it before different events that are going on in our church and just get the church to pray. And it's turning out to be some of the sweetest times. Sweet hour of prayer. Can I tell you, though, you want to get the devil's attention? Start praying. Men will think of grocery list. You'll say, our Heavenly Father, we don't have any milk. Hey, mama, get some milk when you... Okay, let's get back to praying. Start reading the Bible and see if your mind doesn't... we'll come in here and get charged up and get ready to go. It doesn't take seconds to where we're out back in the world in our mind. And church, let me tell you something. You need that oil from God. And thou anointest my head with oil. It's personal and it's powerful, but praise God, it's precious. It's precious. There's a status that comes from that special oil from that shepherd. And there's a scent on that oil that's special just to them. And can I say that oil will also detract some things. It will keep the enemy away. You and I need this word inside of us now more than ever. Oh, if there's ever been a day we needed God. And I know people have said that for centuries, but isn't it amazing when all this mess happened? And I remember I was preaching out of town the weekend where every hour we were getting updates from our governor and what was going on, and I was just trying to get back home. And I thought, what in the world is happening? So our church, just like all churches, trying to figure out what to do. And I said, no, we're not stopping our outreach. We're not stopping what we do. We're going to stay focused. And so we printed up postcards. And I said, all right, this week we're going gas station soul winning. So the pumps are about 6 feet apart. So you get those online cards and you holler it. Now pay, get a dollar's worth of gas. Don't just steal their spot, but put a dollar in. And then holler at the person next to you. Hey, you going to church? You know Christ? Are you saved? It's got the gospel on it. Man, we had more people saved at the gas stations. It was great. Just trying to figure out something to do. God threw us out of the box. And I want to say this, we need God, because that oil, it will help us. It's very personal, it's very powerful, and thank God it's precious. But jot this down. God gives plenty by His order. God gives plenty by His order. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. Look at this. My cup runneth over. Jot this down. Look at the cup of plenty. When you and I are obedient, God will give blessings. Every parent does that with their children. Man, you have times when the kids are not obeying. Man, they're acting like the other side of the family. This just isn't good. They are pastor's kids. Look at them. Man. And then they're like, Daddy, can I have $5? Let me pray about it. No. Shortest prayer ever. But the cup of plenty. My question is this. Will we have the character to continue when God gives us the increase? The reason why many, it seems like at times, we don't get everything we want, and man, we're praying and praying, and God, because our character level, will we continue when God blesses? I've seen God bless some people, and then you can't find them anymore. It's like, hey, where you been? Oh, well, I'm just getting busy. You better stay close to God. Because God's got a way of coming, bringing you back to Him. Now, thank God, you obey Him, God will bless you. And the cup of plenty, it's such a great thing to know that God will take care of you. But not only that, look at the care of protection. The care of protection. In verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I like that next word, dwell. I'm not just going to visit. I'm not just stopping by. I'm going to dwell. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad the kindness of God, as He prepares this table, as He cleans it up, as He covers it all, as He caters it, and it's right there. And may I tell you, sit down and enjoy the meal. Sit down and let God. Don't. You may leave one moment too soon. Don't do that. Stay right at the table. And enjoy every bite. Because just as I enjoy my Thanksgiving, and have you ever walked away thinking, oh, you want any more? Yes. I can't. That's so good. Can I tell you something, church? If we leave this place today not filled, I don't think it's anyone's fault but ours. Is there anything sweeter than to hear the choir? When there's been weeks and I guess a year where there wasn't. Isn't it a blessing to know you have a church that God has blessed? I dare say we could go to every other section and find somebody that could play the piano when there's other places going, well, we'd love to have anything. Isn't it a blessing to know that God will give you plenty? But not only that, look at the care of protection. The care of protection, because it, I will dwell. To dwell means I'm kicking my shoes off. I'm making myself at home. When you have somebody over at the house, what it's natural to say, I don't know if y'all say it out here, but they'll say, hey, make yourself at home. You don't mean that. So make yourself at home means I'm going to step in the door, you know, but I'm still nervous because it's not my house. And, you know, I'm staring at my kids. You know, my wife's like, you know, this is a nice home. Yeah, don't mess anything up, y'all. Let's just stand here. Oh, no, make yourself at home. Really? Okay. If I make myself at home, you might kick me out. When you walk in the room and I'm going through the chest of drawers and you say, what are you doing? Making myself at home. This ain't your home. Well, you told me. I'm looking at the bills. You owe a lot of money. And I'm making myself at home. God says, I will dwell. I'm moving in. I will dwell. We get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord is a place of rejoicing. The house of the Lord is a place where we can rejoice about what God has done. And you and I need to grow to the place where we no longer worry. And we can go back to verse 1 and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And when I get weary and I start to fall, I've got goodness and mercy that are holding me up. Aren't you glad we have a God that not only can save, and not only save to the uttermost, but He'll keep us through all the trials and all the tribulations that we have to go through. And I want to say, thank God for a God that can prepare that table. Because I know I don't deserve it. And I know I cannot pay for it. And I know there's not one reason why I should be sitting at that table. But God says, your table's ready. Amen. Right this way. And you go. And that's the great thing about grace. We're doing a study through Ephesians right now at the church. Grace truly is amazing. I'm telling you, the more I study about it, if all I had was Ephesians 1 through 3, those are pretty good chapters right there. And to know that's what God does. And to sit down and to watch Him bless. We don't deserve it, do we? But God sure is good.